We now present The Adventures of Marco Polo. Marco Polo and his companions continued their journey towards Pekin, the capital city of China. Eventually, they arrived at the gates of Pekin. Then Marco Polo said farewell to the Princess Alana and gave her a ring, telling her that if ever she had need of him, to send him that ring. Then he returned to the gates where his father and uncle were waiting. The three Venetians knew that death might be waiting for them on the other side of that gate, but they boldly told Captain Nadu to beat upon the huge bronze gong which hung beside the gate. The captain beat upon the gong with the hilt of his sword. Its deep notes reverberated through the still air. Then they faded away to silence while the little group anxiously watched the massive gates.
You beat upon the gong, Captain Nadu. When will the gates open?
In a moment. Be patient, Marco Polo. Are you so anxious to rush forward to your doom?
Oh, do not be so sure that we are going to our doom. We are armed with swords. We can fight to save ourselves.
Do not draw your sword, Marco. We wish these people to accept us as friends.
Oh, see? The great gates are swinging open now.
Oh, for us they may be the gates of death.
Courage, Benno, courage.
Oh. I see many soldiers.
At their head is a man mounted on a white horse.
One of the most beautiful horses I have ever seen.
That man is Van Chu, the nephew of the emperor and the governor of the city. He has been apprised of your arrival. The horse he rides is one of 10,000 white horses, which are the property of the great Khan. See? Van Chu rides forward.
Who comes to the gates of Pekin? Who dares to enter the city of the great Kublai Khan?
Excellency, most noble governor of the city, I prostrate myself before you. I am Captain Nadu of the court of the Khan of Persia. I bring a bride to the great Kublai Khan. I bring the princess to enter the city.
It is well. Who are the men who stand beside you?
They are friends of the great Khan of Persia. Men from the west, belonging to a nation which is called Venice. They desire to make obeisance, to win the friendship of the great Khan. They bring gifts for him, and they bring offers of friendship.
The great Khan has sworn that men of the western world shall die.
Tell me, Excellency. My name is Niccolo Polo.
Your name is known. Your brother Matthew Polo stands beside you. And the tall young man is your son, Marco Polo.
How do you know that, Excellency?
We knew many days ago that you were on your way here. The great Khan is well informed.
I beg that you take us before him, that we may offer him rich gifts, that we may beg his friendship.
The great Khan decrees that those who strive to enter this city must die. Strive to enter this city must die. Let the princess be taken to the palace. I will ride beside the litter. Let these four men of the western world be seized and imprisoned until such time as the Khan decrees their death.
They shall not seize me. Who lays a hand on me dies.
Peace, Marco. Sheath your sword.
Struggle against the soldiers and you will die now.
Oh, I knew that we would die. I commend my soul to the one above. I have lived a sinful life.
Silence, Benno. We are not yet to die. Yeah.
Are we not to fight for our lives, Father?
The great Khan may yet consent to see us. If it be his will to place us in prison, then let us go there until such time as he is ready to grant us audience. See, Excellency, my bearers carry many gifts, which I wish to place before the Khan.
The Khan will see your gifts, but you will never see the light of day again. Take them. Let them be imprisoned.
Marco Polo and his companions were ruthlessly seized by Chinese soldiers. Then they were dragged hastily through the streets, having very little time to observe the strange wonders around them. Their only impression was of crowded streets, scurrying people, and the chatter of many tongues. Eventually, the four men were placed in a dark dungeon. Meanwhile, Van Chu, the governor, rode beside the litter of the Princess Alana to the palace. The great palace towered and dominated all other buildings in the city. Guards stood to attention, swords were drawn, and held aloft in salute as the princess was borne into the mighty palace. She was taken to a vast chamber, the walls of which were decorated with gold and silver. Then the curtain of the litter was raised, and Vanchu, the governor, assisted the princess to her feet. She looked around her in awe and amazement.
You are now in one of the small audience chambers of the great Khan's palace. Soon he will come to speak with you.
I thank you for bringing me here, my lord. But may I not go and attire myself in fitting garments to greet the great Khan?
You will learn that when the Khan gives orders, they must be obeyed. He ordered that you should be brought to this chamber to wait here with me until his most high and excellent person should take pleasure in speaking with you. Bow down before him when he enters.
My lord.
Soon those great doors of beaten gold will be flung open. Through those doors will come the ruler of the world, the great Kublai Khan. If you find favor in his eyes, he will wed you.
And if I do not find favor in his eyes?
Then he will bestow you on one of the lords of his court. He might even bestow you on me. But methinks you will find favor in his eyes. Even through your veil, I can see that you are beautiful, my lady.
You may rise, Vanchu. Tell me what took place.
Most High, Princess Vilana of Persia lies prostrate before you. Oh, most high and excellent majesty, she was brought here by a captain of the Persian guards and handed over to my care in accordance with your commands. I brought her to the palace. She now awaits your orders.
It is well. Let the lady rise. You may speak, princess.
Most high, I have journeyed many miles in the hope that I may find favor in your eyes. I bring your loyal greetings from your brother, the Khan of Persia.
My brother has served me well. Turn your back to me, Vanchu. I am about to raise the gossamer veil which hides the face of the princess.
It shall be as you command, most excellent majesty.
Let me look upon you, princess. What is the matter with your face? Are you the victim of some disease that your face is screwed up thus? Answer me, maiden.
Sometimes a strange malady attacks me, sire, causing me to contract the muscles of my face.
That is strange. My brother sent me messages that you were beautiful and healthy. Why should he lie to me? Does this malady last for long? Must you wrinkle your nose like that all the time?
Oh, it will pass soon.
But my brother said that you were the most beautiful woman on whom he had set eyes. He mentioned nothing about the wrinkling of the face or the nose.
Oh, this malady overtook me on the journey here, most high.
Lower your veil over your face again. It does not please me.
Oh, your most excellent majesty command.
You may look this way now, Vanchu. I do not know whether I will marry this woman.
Should she not meet with your pleasure, most high, may I ask for her hand?
I have not yet decided whether I will marry her. She will be placed under the observation of the court physician, who will tell me whether this malady can be cured.
I have to report that 4 men of the Western world accompanied the princess to the gates of Pekin. They looked 4 dangerous men. We want no Westerners here, most high. You have decreed that foreigners shall be put to death if they strive to enter your city.
That is my decree. Where are these foreigners?
They were placed in a dungeon to await your orders. Say but the word, and I will order their heads to be struck from their bodies. That their bodies be hurled through the gates of the
lie. Let my decree be carried out. They shall be beheaded and their bodies hurled through the gates.
That order shall be carried out at once, most high.
A moment, most high. May I speak?
You may not speak unless the emperor addresses you.
But I have something to say to the emperor.
Speak, child. What would you say to me?
These 4 men rendered great service to the Khan of Persia. They helped him to overthrow a wicked robber known as the Old Man of the Mountains. They are brave, good men. They bring you rich gifts and a message from a great ruler who is known as the Pope. I beg that you hear them, Most High.
The Emperor does not wish to hear from foreigners.
Do these men speak our language?
What they do, Most High. They have traveled in many lands, and they know many languages. They are brave, resourceful men, and they wish to offer you their services. Bid His Excellency services. Bid His Excellency to turn his back to us again. Raise my veil once more, then look upon my features.
But turn away, Ratchu. Turn away. Turn away. Let me look upon the maiden's features. Now, maiden, we shall see. Oh, you are beautiful. More beautiful than any woman I have ever seen. And yet that malady may return. That sagging of the mouth. That wrinkling of the nose.
But it may not return, O Most High. Now look into my eyes and know that I speak the truth. Before foreigners have come here on a friendly mission, they are brave men. They did service to your brother, the Khan of Persia, by bringing about the defeat of the old men of the mountain. They did service by saving my life from the Koronis, the wicked robbers of the desert. They have risked everything so that they might speak with you to win your friendship. I beg you, spare their lives. Speak to them first. Then if your heart is still filled with hatred against them, they shall die.
You plead very well, maiden. Lower your veil. Now, Manchu, here. Manchu, come here to me. What is your advice? Shall I slay these men or not?
Heed not the pleas of the Princess Most High. We want no foreigners here. These men are dangerous. One tried to struggle, drew his sword, and threatened to kill one of your soldiers.
Oh, tell me, Most High. These men come from a strange country called Venice, a country which is built on water, and where the people go about their daily tasks in strange boats. They have seen many wonders of the world, and what they have to tell will bring pleasure to the ears of the Most High and Mighty Kublai Khan.
A city built?
Fanciful tale.
Tis true, I swear it. And it must be a wondrous city.
I would like to hear more of this city. I'm always interested in wonders of the world, wonders which are not possessed by Kublai Khan. The lives of these men shall be spared for the time being, Manchu. Let them all be brought before me now.
But, Most High, is it not unwise?
Kublai Khan has spoken. I do not give orders twice. I have said that the men will live until I have spoken with them. Go now and bring them before me. Go, go, go.